Let's pray. Father, we are grateful to you this day for your blessing. We ask that you will visit us one more time in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Right. I'm not feeling the seating, so if I can have some people, you know, just so that I can. Yeah, exactly. That's cool. Yeah, it's working.
Hello.
Amen. Did Daniela come to church today? I was going to send the follow-up team after her, but she came to church, so that's cool. Amen. All right. I'm continuing to share with you on this all-important subject of tithing. Amen. And this morning, I started sharing with you why tithing does not work for some people. Isn't it? Yeah. Why tithing does not work for some Christians. Have you ever wondered why tithing does not work for some Christians? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even if you have not wondered, I am sure that it's occurred to you before. Or you have heard someone talk about what difference does tithing make. Do you see? Yesterday also I was speaking to someone and the person said, I trusted God. You know, the person said, I trusted God and he didn't come through for me. You know? And I was just wondering whether this person really trusted God. But it's a common thing you hear. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's a common thing that you hear. You hear a lot of people say that God has not blessed them or say that a certain doctrine or teaching in the Bible has not worked for them. Hallelujah. So I am attempting to explain to you how come that is sometimes the case. Because many times they are not lying. They're telling the truth. But they don't know what caused it. Hallelujah. Well, the truth is that even when it comes to even planting seeds, not every seed germinates, isn't it? That goes into the ground. There are so many other factors that affect the seeds you plant, such as even where you planted it. You see what I'm saying? If you drop your seeds on cement, concrete floors, you're not going to see a harvest, even though you planted it. So there are so many things that affect seeds. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why certain things cannot happen to certain people. Do you see? Because if you take someone who is blessed, for example, even when you curse them, that ground cannot receive that seed. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see that seed of a curse does not land there and it will not bring forth the fruit you are talking about. Because the person is blessed. I was reading something in, I think it was in Joshua chapter 24 or so, where Joshua was explaining and going through some of the things that God's people had been through. And he was explaining to them that God has really helped you. That God has really blessed you. God has done so many things for you. And then he went through a number of things, you know. And he said here that one of the things he said, then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. Amen. He blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. Amen. Amen. This is the Lord speaking. He said, somebody even went to hire one of my prophets to come and curse you. But because you are blessed, his curses didn't work. And even though he came and he tried to speak, I blessed you still. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you still. Hallelujah. In spite of whatever happens and whatever you encounter. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the scripture teaches clearly that all things work together for good. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Amen. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So right there we can see, according to this verse, that good is a product of multiple things working together. Do you understand? That good is the product of many things working together. So it's not just one good step, even if it's the most important step. Do you understand? A lot of you here love to eat jollof rice. Isn't it? Who loves to eat jollof rice? Yeah, a lot of you love to eat jollof rice. I'm not sure how many of you know how to make it though. Yeah, but Ine is the expert. Ine is the pro. She knows how to make jollof rice. So if you are lacking in jollof rice skills, then I suggest you go see Ine for some lessons and coaching. Amen. But see, jollof rice essentially is rice, isn't it? So a person who is going to cook jollof rice essentially needs what? Rice. But having rice does not give you jollof rice. Do you see what I'm saying? We need to add a number of other things whose absence will affect your jollof rice. You will not have jollof rice if you don't have a pot. If you don't have fire to cook it, you will not have it. If you don't, you need any, what are the things? What are the things you need? You need rice. You need tomatoes. Tomato paste. You need peppers. Like habanero. You see what I'm saying? So you thought that once you have bought a bag of rice, jasmine rice, you're on your way to jollof rice. You're on your way, but you're not there yet. Hallelujah. There are some other things that have to be in place. Can I have an amen? Amen. Some other things have to be put in place. So good is a product of a number of things working together. That is why you see a scripture like we have in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. From 2 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 5. Do you see? Where is it? Is it coming? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. It says, and beside this, given all diligence. Do you see? Beside this, giving all diligence. Right? Then it says, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, you must add knowledge, isn't it? So you add to your faith. That means you keep your faith. Hallelujah. You keep your faith. Then while holding your faith in place, you try to acquire virtue, isn't it? Then you sort of expand your hand and keep it on faith plus virtue. Do you see? Then holding faith and virtue in place, you add knowledge. Isn't it? You add knowledge. Then holding faith and virtue and knowledge in place, you add, what's verse 6? Temperance. Isn't it? Then once your temperance is in place, you add patience. Isn't it? And then when your patience is locked up, you add godliness. You see, our jollof rice is coming together. Isn't it? Our jollof rice is coming together. Then when godliness is secure, then in verse 7, you add brotherly kindness. Do you see? And then brotherly kindness, you add to that charity. Hallelujah. And then verse 8 says that, if these things be in you and they abound, they make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see that fruitfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ is a product of so many things being put together. Do you understand? You cannot get to fruitfulness just by having godliness. You cannot get to fruitfulness just by having godliness and brotherly kindness. You can't have fruitfulness just by having faith. Hallelujah. So many other things, if you don't have, they will cancel your fruitfulness because you don't have all the ingredients that lead to that. Hallelujah. So in talking about reasons why some Christians or tithing doesn't work for some Christians, we're talking about elements that or whose absence affects the effect of tithing on your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. I think you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. Things that if you don't sort out or fix properly, they will affect your Christian life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, first of all, one of the reasons why tithing doesn't work for some people is that they do not recognize God's provision when it comes. They do not know how to recognize God's provision. They cannot see when God has actually moved. Hallelujah. When God's hand has blessed them, when God has stepped in to intervene on their behalf, when God has done so many things for them already, they still say that God has not done anything for them. Do you understand? But God does many things for us and we need an eye to see. Do you understand? If you look at the scriptures that I read earlier in chapter 24 of Joshua. Chapter 24 of Joshua. You see Joshua going through a long list of things that God had done for the people. Do you see? Which they probably did not realize that it was the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6 for example. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. When they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. Hallelujah. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Hallelujah. God is saying that, look, I am the one. It's not like something happened. And then just as the Egyptians were following us, suddenly the sea rose and the sea came over them. God, he said, that's not what happened. He says that I did it. I did it. Hallelujah. I did it. He said, I brought them out and I covered them. I covered him. It is not an easy thing. He said, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians. And then I brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done. Hallelujah. That this is what happened. I did it. Can I have an amen? Amen? Look at verse 8. He said, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. They fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Hallelujah. They fought with you. They fought with you. They fought with you. Things that showed up in your life, you know, challenges that arose in your life, and they fought with you, isn't it? Then the Lord said that I gave them into your hand. I tell you, if God does not deliver something or someone or some situation into your hand, you'll be surprised that you have no victory over that situation. You have victory over situations because God gave it into your hand. Do you understand? God put it in your hand. God made your hand stronger than the situation. God made you beat the situation.
God made you stronger than the situation. God gave you an idea, a way out. I gave it into your hand. Wow. If God had not delivered these people into their hands, they would have been defeated by that situation. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when then Balak, he said after this, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, he arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. He sent to go get this guy to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. Hallelujah. I just love this particular verse. Therefore, he blessed you still. The guy who has been paid to curse you, he comes and when he opens his mouth, he blesses you still. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. I said that will be your story. People who are engineering things against you will find themselves working those same things for you. They'll find themselves, people who have been hired to pull you down will find themselves engaged to set you up. They'll be working to bring you down and in the process build a pedestal for you that actually sets you up. Because God has provided for you. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
He said, and ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Can you see how many fights are going on? One fight after the other. He said, the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. I mean, every type of ite was against you. All these people fought against you and I delivered them into your hand. I delivered them into your hand. See, sometimes you need to be reminded. Hallelujah. You need an eye and you need a mind that understands what is the work of the Lord. Do you understand? You catch a flu or something like that and after 2-3 days you beat it. You are up and running again. You don't understand that the Lord has delivered it into your hand. Do you understand? The Lord has delivered it into your hand. God has delivered, He has made you stronger than the situation and has caused you to triumph over that situation. Hallelujah. He said, and I sent the hornet before you. Now we are going into angels. Do you understand? We are now going into angels because you didn't see it. But he says, I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out. See, this is a word you don't know. Drave. It is past participle for drive. You only know drive and drove and driven. This one is drave. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, look, the hornet came and drove them out from before you. Even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. Wow. This is the thing that is vanishing before you without your effort. Do you understand? Have you ever found yourself calling someone to say, oh, you know, I don't need it anymore. You know, I was calling for this, or I was ordering this, or I was trying to buy this, or I thought I needed this, and I was just getting ready to buy this or spend this money, and then the Lord saved you that money. Says, you don't have to spend it. He said, I delivered the guys from before you, but it was not with your sword. Listen, it would have been enough that God would deliver them into your hand. See, those other into your hand situations, they fought them and they won the battles. But this one is a put your sword aside. It didn't cost you anything. You got the victory, but it wasn't with your sword. Your sword was still intact, but you fought and you won. Your bow was never shot, but you still fought and won. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at verse 13. I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. So you are eating from vineyards and olive yards and all kinds of yards that you didn't plant, but you're chopping from it. Hallelujah. We're talking about advantages that you inherit. See, all these people, these guys had built all these cities, and these people were delivered into God's hands, and they ran out of the places, and God's people just took charge and began to possess the place. Hallelujah. Advantages and benefits. Some of you are going to inherit other people's jobs. Positions that were created by people for your benefit and to your advantage. You're going to benefit from all those things. And God is saying that, look, I did it. I did it. I did it. It didn't just happen. Hallelujah. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Because by that time, gods were in abundance. There are plenty gods. After you've conquered all these cities, their gods are all available for and campaigning for worshippers. Do you understand? There's so many gods that are looking for people to serve them. And Joshua said that, look, you think God has done so much for you. Do you understand? Sometimes we feel that we have done more for God than he has done for us. I spoke to a gentleman one time and he was telling me that, look, the way one has stretched himself to serve the Lord. I said, really? When did you start? When did you start? When did you start? Let's start from when did you get saved? When did you even get saved? Do you understand? That's because you've done a few visitations for the Lord. Because you've led a couple of Bible studies for the Lord. Because you've gone to do a couple of follow-up, visits and, prayed for a couple of people. You feel like you have done so much for the Lord. Has the Lord drawn the curtain? Has he removed the curtain to show you how he drove demons and drove accidents and drove sicknesses away from before you? If God was to show you in reality what he has done for you, you'll be realizing that actually you have shortchanged the Lord. Hallelujah. You have shortchanged the Lord. The Lord has given you far more than you have given to him. So Joshua was telling the people, listen, if it is God is saying serve him. And he said, if it is too evil for you, then choose. Whether you want to serve the gods of your fathers or some of these new gods you've come to find, you choose. You just feel free. Just be happy and just be serving the gods. But as for me and my house, we know how we got to this place. We know who has brought us here. We know who has provided for us. We know who has blessed us. We know who has kept us. We know who has preserved us. We know who has delivered us from evil. We know who watches over our going out and our coming in. We know who makes provision for us. And therefore, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins, if you forsake the Lord and go and serve strange gods. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve. And his voice will we obey. Hallelujah. May that be your statement. That the Lord our God will we serve. And the Lord our God will we obey. Hallelujah. His voice we will obey. Amen.
So one of the reasons why tithing doesn't work for people is simply this, that they cannot see that God has blessed them. God has made a provision right in front of them. They cannot even recognize it. Hallelujah. There's the story of another guy called Naaman. Do you know Naaman? You'd heard the story of Naaman the Syrian, 2 Kings chapter 5 and from verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 13. And this Naaman the Syrian was a leper, and he had gone to a man of God. Someone had told him about an anointed man of God, and to go to him so the man of God will pray for him to be healed. Do you see? And so the man of God had sent a message that Naaman should go and take a bath. Do you understand? That Naaman has to bath. That's this whole leprosy thing is for a lack of bathing. Hallelujah. And Naaman was offended. He was offended that the man of God is talking about bathing when he has come so far. Do you understand? And he almost missed his blessing because he thought that God should work and move another way. Do you understand? Sometimes what makes us miss his blessing is our misplaced expectation, that we expect God to move and act in a different way from the way that he may choose to move and act. Hallelujah. But if you could help yourself, why don't you help yourself before you came to God? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let God be God and allow yourself to be you. You remain you and let God be God. Hallelujah. That means he calls the shots. Allow God to choose how he wants to work for you. To choose whom he wants to use to bless you. To choose what method and even what timing and what place he wants to bless you. Amen. So it says in verse 13 that a little girl told Naaman, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean." Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Can you imagine? And he was clean. That Naaman's skin became like Daniela's skin. Isn't that powerful? Fresh, tender. With baby oil skin. Have you seen that baby oil type of skin? Yeah. His pimples that he had before, all the pimples vanished. All his shaving bumps that he had, and so many other problems that Naaman had, that he brought. The Lord had delivered him from then all, and replaced his skin with the skin of Daniela. Hallelujah. I see God working miracles for you. Let's not be ungrateful because our eyes cannot see what the Lord is doing in our lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The tithing is working already, already, already. What I find is that people get used to good. Do you understand? So for many people, what represents a miracle for another person is their normal. Yeah, it's their normal because they are used to having it. They are used to having it. You see some people fighting with their husbands and you wonder what the fight is about. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you wonder what the fight is about. You went out and you came home late. Really? You don't know that even that he came home is a miracle. Do you understand? Yeah, but that he comes home every day. So now you can quarrel about he came home and he came home late. So instead of being grateful, you have become a grumbler. And you are now fighting over something you shouldn't be fighting over. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We get used to miracles. We get used to being healthy. We really do get used to being healthy because that's what we know. You don't understand that the Lord said he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf.
And rebuking the devourer is rebuking anything that devours you. Devours your life, devours your health, devours your finances, devours your relationships. Anything that takes it away, that devourer has been rebuked. Amen. When the devourer is rebuked for many times or in many situations, it just leaves you experiencing what other people see as normal. What people experience, what people call normal, even it's expected. People expect it of you. But when you get to know people and you get to know life a little bit, you will realize that many things are not regular for everybody. Many things are not normal for everybody. You know, I was just, Pastor Monet, do you have that video? Can you show it right now? My father-in-law just sent his daughter a video. Have you, what, pause it. Okay. He just sent a video. This is just about 20 seconds or so of this video. And then she showed it to me. And when I saw the thing, I said, wow, this boy's parents must be some serious tithers. Now watch it. Show it to us right from the beginning. Just watch that little boy. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Come on, do it again. Play it again. Play it again. Watch this boy. You just watch him. Standing there. Then count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me show you what a person looks like 5 seconds before the devil intends to devour him. Show me the thing again. This is what people look like. Just 5 seconds before they die. Before the enemy devours him. Look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you see what's going on there? Yeah. So you never know. You don't understand what the Lord is doing. Yeah. The worst thing you can do is to start to complain and start to be ungrateful. When you are standing there 5 seconds away from your consumption and devouring, and then an angel or something creates restlessness around you. Someone just comes and sort of nudges you, and you just feel like just moving away from there. Just moving away from there. And you move away from there, and he throws his stone. The bird has already moved. Yeah. It's like someone who's shooting a target and shooting a bird, and just before he clicks the trigger, the bird just flies off. And you shoot into a place where the bird is not. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying, Pastor Charles? Yes. There's a lot of deliverance that we are already experiencing. And we must be careful not to be ungrateful. Hallelujah. That God's blessing came in a slightly different way. That his blessing came at a slightly different time or in another form. Do you understand? In another form. That you'll be surprised that the Lord has provided for you already. God has provided for you. You see some people that they're expecting a provision from here. Then the Lord sends it through here. Then they still start to complain and moan about this one because it didn't come. Even though they have the thing in their hand. But they are just thinking it should have come from here. So they start to complain. And you never did this. And you never did that. And you never did that. When you see people complaining about their husbands and their wives, and you never did this. And you never did this. And this person is rather nicer to me than you. Do you not understand that it is your need for niceness that is absent here that God is providing here for you? That you don't go and take this one and still come knocking on this door for niceness. God has given you the niceness you need right here on the left. Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say, yeah. So she doesn't cook for me and I'm always hungry. That's why I've been eating here. You don't understand. Because it's not here. He put it here. So that when you come here, you can have some food to eat. So now whether you ate it here or there, the most important thing is you are full. You are supposed to be grateful to the Lord and stop moaning and complaining about this one. Hallelujah. Amen. And stop moaning and complaining about this one. Hallelujah. Amen. No, Joseph understood it. His brothers came. His brothers had messed up. They had sold him into slavery and so on. But he had prospered. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? He had prospered. So he had two things. I mean, he could look at his brother and say, let's settle the score. Let's go back. Let's go back 15, 20 years. You guys did this to me. But he was just looking at the whole situation. Listen, look, the thing has worked out for my good. I have prospered anyway. They cut off my prosperity by selling me into slavery. But God blessed me still. God blessed me still. What was supposed to cut me down actually set me up for success. So God blessed me still. And because God has blessed me anyway, I haven't lost anything. Whether I stayed at home and grew up at home or that I was sold into slavery, it did not make a difference. So he said, you know what, brothers, you're free. He said, don't feel bad. You're free. You meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. So long as good still came out of it, I'm okay. I don't really care where the good came from. Whether it would have come from you or it came from here, I don't really care. The most important is I've experienced good. If you think like that, you will find yourself getting along with a lot of people. You find yourself being less and less angry, being less and less bitter, because you will find that whatever you are not getting from one place, God has placed it in another place for you. God has provided it in another place for you. And you are blessed anyway. So what is the point? Why do you have to complain? Why do you have to cry? Because God has blessed you anyway. Hallelujah. Don't forget Joshua's words. He said, Balaam was hired to come and curse you, but I blessed you still. I blessed you still. I blessed you still. His curses did not affect you. He came. He took the pay and came. I tell you, this Balaam, he was a very bad prophet. He took the pay and he came to try and curse God's people. And he showed the people how to, you know, get God's people to offend God so that the curse will naturally come on them. But God said, I bless them still. I bless them still in spite of Balaam. Hallelujah. Amen. God has blessed you anyway. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're already experiencing, those of you who have been paying tithe, you're already experiencing the blessings of tithing. Amen. Been experiencing the blessings of tithing. I mean, look at Pastor Charles. His wife is here barely a year. They're about to have a beautiful baby. Do you know how long people have been trying to have babies? You want me to show you one or two people? Huh? You want me to show you one or two people? Do you know how long people have been trying to find and to have babies? I blessed you still. He blessed you still. He blessed you still. And since she got pregnant, she's been well. She's just been well. I know a lady who had to spend 9 months hung upside down. Yeah. Because the cervix could not hold the baby. So she couldn't like stand, sit, no, the baby would just come out. So they had to hang her in the bed. She was in the bed and she would go like that. So that this is, her head is down and her legs are up here like that. And they kept her that way for 9 months in the hospital so that she can keep the baby. Yeah. And the baby was born. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? You are not hanging upside down. You're just living normally. You get it? Yeah. It's a blessing. Amen. All the promises that God made, you get it? That he will bless you
you are already experiencing them. You are experiencing the blessings. You are just so used to them, you are calling them normal. Calling them normal. You are calling them normal. But God is going to show you one or two people whose normal is the opposite of what you have. Then you start to realize that you are actually living perpetually in a miracle. That God has elevated you to live your normal life is to live in a miracle. Yeah, that's what somebody would desire to just taste. Just one time. That is your life. That's where you live. You live, you know, it's like someone who lives and works in Disney World. People fly from around the world to come and taste it for a day. And you work there every day. That's how it is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's how it is. You can take as many rides and as many roller coaster rides, and you can do as many of them as you want. You don't even do them. You even start to complain that all these roller coasters, they make too much noise. You see, it makes too much noise. And it goes up and down, and up and down. You are tired of it. You stand there, you don't even look at it. You don't even want to see it. Yeah, because you are so used to it. But you don't understand that this thing you are looking at is the reason why someone is on a plane coming from London. The person is flying from the UK. The person is on American Airlines, British Airways, whatever plane, and they are flying into Los Angeles, and after that they are getting a rental car and they are going to Disney just to hear these sounds. These sounds that you say is disturbing you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So this is the reason why many people think that they are not experiencing the blessing of tithing. But unfortunately, our time is up. So I'm going to close right now. But next week, I'm going to continue. So I need you to come back here next week. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Wow, it's a blessing. So you see, Kobe, many people are filling forms and doing all kinds of things just to come to school in America. See what I'm saying? Any school. Any school. Yeah. Community college, accredited, non-accredited, anything. Any school. Yeah. Because when you live abroad, you're not as sensitive and as aware and conscious of what is a good school and which one is not a good school. You are here, you say you don't want to go to something state university because the admission, they have, their student population is about 52,000. So, you know, there are about 52,000 students in the school. So it's not a good school. Say the school is in Montana. How can it be a good school? It's in North Dakota. So how can it be a good school? It's in South Dakota. Yeah, the worst one is Wyoming. The school is in Wyoming. So how can it be a good school? Yeah. You don't understand. His blessing has become your normal. It's become your normal. Peace in your home is your normal. Yeah. Your children are at home. It has become your normal. So you are upset and screaming and shouting. Because it's normal. That's your normal. You don't understand that some people would like their children at home in any state. Just be home. Don't do anything. Don't work, there's no chores, nothing. Just be home. Hey! God has blessed us. God has blessed us. I can say that God has blessed me. I can say that God has been good. That I am experiencing the blessings that He promised. He said, people will call you a delightsome land. People will look at you and say, you are blessed. People will look at you and say that, I wish I had your life. He says, you have it good. You have it good. That's what people will say. People will say. A friend of mine who, you know, chose a line of work, a profession, and became very successful. He's become very successful and he's done very well along that line. And he's rich, you know, rich. He has all the nice cars, you know, big house, all the things you would associate with wealth. And then I'm speaking to him the other day. Then he's saying that, you know, I've been in the church a long time. I've been in the church a long time. All my colleagues and contemporaries have become pastors and so on, you know. Can you not help me to do some crash course so that I can also become a shepherd and maybe become a pastor? Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. The guy who's got everything still wants now to be a shepherd. He wants to do a crash course. The guy who's got everything, the guy who can afford everything, who has the cars, who has the houses, who has money, who has everything, as he's gotten to the top, he's coming for where I began. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's coming for stage one of my life. Think about it. And I'm not envious of him. I don't envy him. There's nothing he has that I wish I had. I'm blessed. I'm blessed too. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I also have a car to drive. I also have a place to stay. I mean, I'm blessed. I'm happy. I don't miss anything. I don't want stage one, even stage 10 of his life. I don't want it. But he wants stage one of my life. He wants to do post. Even Zola has passed post. You are the envy of my friend. You are the envy of my friend. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Those who have it all eventually realize that this was not the path. And they start to turn around and say, I want what you have. I want to be a pastor now. So I want to be, isn't there any crash course? Everybody say crash course. Crash course. Isn't there any crash course I can take so that I can become a shepherd and eventually become a pastor so that I can be a pastor? Yeah. You take it for granted that you have passed post. Zola. From today, you should never take it for granted that you have passed your post exam. You should be grateful to the Lord and say, Father, I am thankful to you. Amen. God has already begun to bless us. We're already experiencing the blessing. Says they will call you a delightsome land. People will look at you and they will envy you. Wendy, you may not have everything, but people will envy you. They will envy you. They will look at you and say, hey, look, she's got something. She's got something. She's got something. She's got a peace around her. She's got a restfulness around her that I don't seem to have. You just look at people, just look at you and they think, how can you be happy with the life that you have? You can't explain it. Because God said, people will call you a delightsome land. Hallelujah. Lift up your hand to the Lord and start to pray and say, Lord, I am grateful. Oh Lord, I thank you for everything that I have already begun to experience. Joshua recounted it with the people. He said, look, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. He said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who brought you fight after fight, challenge after challenge, difficulty after difficulty. He said, I delivered it into your hand. I made your hand strong against this challenge. That's how come you overcame it. That's how come you beat it. That's how you went over it. Because I strengthened your hand and I gave it, I delivered the thing into your hand. And I said, this thing, you will overcome it. That is how come you overcame. You cannot complain and be ungrateful. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You've been good to us and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Do you want to see that video one more time? Yeah? Kawi, can you show us the video? Yeah? Show us the video one more time. Just watch it. You say the Lord hasn't done anything for you. Look at you. You see, you watch. The angel will move in. The angel will just, yes, just go. Yeah, drive him from the place. Yes. That's it. Even the debris, you see, show it again. Even the little things that are just flying around, even those things miss the boy. Look at it. You just watch, you see. Yeah. Yeah. You see. Yeah. I'm just going. Yeah. Yeah. You see? Do you see? Yes. Yeah. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. You will be delivered from anything that comes after your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.